From the horse capital of the world, the great city of Lexington, Kentucky, welcome to Red Barn Radio. Wherever in the world you're listening, join us as we celebrate the music of Kentucky. Tonight, Red Barn Radio presents an evening with the Chirinos, coming up on Red Barn Radio. Thank you.
Red Barn Radio is brought to you with the financial support of LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Planning to visit Lexington or just looking for more information? Visit Lex is on the web at visitlex.com. We're more than just bluegrass.
Good evening and welcome to Red Barn Radio. I'm the producer of Red Barn Radio and welcome you to our 493rd live performance. Tonight, Red Barn Radio welcomes the Torinos. The father and son duo Matt and Tom have been playing together since Matt was 9. As a duo, they perform and have recorded old-time and Cajun tunes, as well as their own original fiddle and banjo tunes that draw from influences of these and other styles. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome tonight's guests, the Torinos.
Thank you.
If you've just joined us, this is Red Barn Radio, and you're listening to the Torinos, and we're glad to have both of them here tonight. So, where'd you guys meet?
We met in St. Joseph's Hospital in Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas. Is that true?
Absolutely.
We're talking about.
I was there.
He was there. He was in a little clear plastic box.
Hasn't changed, has it? Let's go back to that early time. The bio says you started to play with your dad musically at the age around 9. Did you do music before that? Were you like born with a fiddle in your hand? What is this about?
Well, actually, I was playing before that a little bit. I started playing fiddle when I was about 7. I guess you could say technically performing when I was 9, but I also wasn't turned on in the PA system, so no one could hear me. We had this big band called the Squeeze Tones, which was kind of like a, hippie dance band, kind of from there, like somewhere in the mid-90s.
It was a hippie dance
hippie
band.
Dance band.
Hippie dance band.
And there's probably like 8 or 9 people on stage, and I was playing fiddle at a pretty young age in bars and things like that. But luckily for everybody in the audience, I was pretty inaudible over. And I was playing, extremely hard because I couldn't hear myself either. So I'm like, I got to play really hard to make sure everybody can hear me okay.
So he is one of the louder fiddlers I know.
I noticed that tonight. Yeah. I mean, he's not like laid back. No. He's like on.
So I usually have to use an amplifier just to break even with him. That's how he got his start, against a 9-piece band, really without being turned up in the PA. So he was trying to be heard over this, and he developed really good arm muscles.
Is that something Dad did to like hold him down and make him learn?
Playing in tune is something that you develop as a fiddler over time.
A long time.
By the age of 10.
Yeah, maybe. By the age of 10. And so what we did was, when he first started playing, if he was a little bit out of tune, we just kept the microphone off. And then as he got better, we turned it up a little bit and up a little bit. And now he's the center of the show.
Cool. Shall we put him on mic tonight, or should we keep turning him down?
I would keep turning him down myself.
If you've just joined us,
tonight we're with the Torinos on Red Barn Radio.
So after Austin, where did you go from there, and where did your music take you from there, Matt?
Well, we ended up in Champaign-Urbana when I was 3 years old. Mr. Tom here got a job at the University of Illinois teaching music and anthropology there. I was, at that time, not super involved in my musical career, but we basically were living there, and there's lots of music parties happening at our house all the time, and there was a farmer's market. At a certain point, we started like busking at the farmer's market in our town pretty regularly, and that was a nice little income for a young fella. So it was nice to have that going on, and we started playing contra dances probably when I was 12 or 13, probably. The big hippie dance band thing disbanded after a certain point, and so I was no longer playing publicly for a brief period until I could kind of hold my own as a fiddler.
Hippie dance band lost in time and space and meaning. In your family, then, you came up in a tradition of old-time music?
Yeah, kind of.
You didn't listen to, like, metal and rock? And
I did, actually. I listened to a lot of alternative rock. I grew up I was coming up in the mid to late 90s. So I was listening to a lot of rock music and a lot of what my dad, Tom, was listening to. Which is a lot of random stuff, and usually one song on repeat for a week at a time. And
I deny that.
But my peers weren't listening to fiddle music, so I thought it was pretty uncool, and I didn't really realize there was anybody who was interested in this kind of music in my age bracket until I got to college, pretty much. Some of my friends would, like, you know, randomly come to shows that I played, but not a whole lot. And so I was playing old-timey kind of stuff and a little bit of Cajun stuff and learning a few Scottish tunes and stuff like that here and there.
So even with the family influence, why a fiddle? Did, like, he force the fiddle on you? Where did you or was there one in the closet and you picked it up?
There was no forcing going on. I think there's probably some suggestion. I think from a fairly early age, the phrase, "the fiddle is the greatest instrument," was said any number of times. And so, you know, it's like you hear that at a young, impressionable age, and it sounds like a great idea.
Well, the way it was, so I played five-string banjo, I needed a fiddler. I played Cajun accordion, I needed a fiddler. I played fingerstyle guitar, blues, I needed a fiddler. So I needed a fiddler.
See, it's all about Dad, after all this time.
I never made him practice, but I told him I'd give him breakfast and dinner and lunch if he did.
Thank you. Did you ever take fiddle lessons, or is you're self-taught?
I had a violin teacher when I first started out.
A violin teacher.
She was a violinist for sure, and she had kind of got me going on Suzuki method. I was good at the ear part, not so good at the reading part, and so I basically kind of would like fudge through terribly until she got too frustrated with listening to me and would play it for me, and then I could usually get it much better after I heard it. After she left, and she was, I think, probably extremely patient. She left probably when I was about 9 years old or something like that, and I never really found another teacher that could wrangle my lack of reading / ability to play things in a consistent way. So I kind of, from there, just played with my dad and kind of worked on stuff from recordings mostly, I guess.
When you learn from listening or listening to dad. You didn't, like, read music and learn
Correct.
It that way.
Yeah.
It's all rote.
It's yeah.
And dad preceded you in life.
Usually that's how it works.
Musically too, huh?
Yeah, no doubt.
And where did you begin?
Oh,
at an early age and a high note, all that.
I began in my bedroom listening to Bob Dylan, I think, you know. I had a jug band in high school, and in college I studied South Indian music on an instrument called the veena. I wanted to study banjo at that point. I didn't play banjo yet. There were these periods where you could do independent study, and my freshman advisor said, no, you can't play the banjo. There's no intellectual content in that. Here's a quote, playing the banjo is like driving a truck. Which it is, actually. Now I agree with him these years later. But there was a guy from South India coming to our campus in that period who was teaching this instrument called the veena, which is a South Indian version of the sitar. And so I started studying that, which is what got me hooked in ethnomusicology, actually, at an early age.
I'd like to take a quick leap back. You said in high school you did jug band music.
Jug band music.
That's a great tradition out of Louisville, for one. 1930s culture.
And Memphis.
And Memphis came up river, and it's great, jaunty music. Is that part of your interest in Cajun? Does that go back to that, or where did that all come from?
Cajun,
you hung out in New Orleans.
I lived in Austin, Texas for a long time, would go over to Louisiana. I fell in love with the dancing first. And then in Austin, I was in bands with accordion players, triple row button, but we were doing Latin American music at the time. When I went to Illinois, I didn't know any button accordion players, and so I missed it, so I learned to play it myself. And that's kind of where it started, dancing it down south and then getting into the music and just learning how to play it.
Did you get any other traditions out of Texas? You know, there's Texas swing and all that stuff down there. Was that of interest to you at that time?
Or? It was always of interest. I'd never played it. You know, Austin, I played in the mariachi.
Yeah. Am I correct? You also play fiddle?
I do now. I'm learning.
So that doesn't go back to Austin or any?
Oh,
that's
no,
a
no,
recent
no. That's
acquisition.
Very, yeah, it's pretty much when I left him, I needed a fiddler.
See how that works.
Yeah.
Payback.
Well, the truth is, in Urbana, I was surrounded by Matt plays great fiddle, and his girlfriend Claire, who I play with, plays great fiddle, and Ben Smith, who was in our bands, played great fiddle, and we just had all these fiddlers around. I couldn't pick it up. I was too embarrassed.
And there was no need. Listen to that.
Yeah.
Listen to that.
Beef feeders at 3 a.m. Scan resources for one so shy. Can't sleep for now. New day is dawning. I feel as lovely as a cyclops's eye. Daffodils, new day is dawning. I found her locked up in a downtown hotel. Whatever you're selling, she ain't buying. Why she's paralyzed, only her doctor can tell. Hear the sound of one hand clapping. Ignore the finger pointing at the moon. I like to hear the old fellow laughing. It'll come around, it'll come around, it'll come around too soon. talking rot in too many places. All that matters is what's on the marquee. Selling scandal, selling rumor. Sell your photograph and set yourself free.
Coming up, more Red Barn Radio with the Torinos, recorded live from the Performance Hall at Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky. We're back with the Torinos after this break. This is Red Barn Radio.